Good morning and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today, Jill Medley, and Matt McHenry. They are with the Freedom Learning for Life Farm, and we're going to talk a little bit about what they're doing in the community. Got a big family fall festival coming up, so we'll have some fun with that. Mostly sunny skies today, high pushing 90 degrees, clear skies tonight, low near 57, and then for Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 83. Now, Matt, you and I were talking earlier, and I said, you know what, and Joel and I, we keep things kind of relaxed, and I had a great weekend, despite all my teams losing, other than Ohio State. I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Went to the Hebron Pie Festival and ate some pies. Now, I'm just curious, because people gave me a lot of guff, because I don't put ice cream with my pie.
Oh.
Are you ice cream with pie guy? Are you pie a la mode, or is it just give me the pie and go?
I am absolutely pie a la mode.
Okay, absolutely. It's been nice talking to you. Jill, can you carry a show by yourself? We need you to step up.
Okay.
So any kind of pie, ice cream?
Typically it's either the apple pie or the peach pie. I'll go with vanilla ice cream.
Oh,
that's
right,
as far
then.
As I'll go.
See,
yep.
He said peach pie. Most people won't say peach pie. Mm-hmm. I love a peach pie.
Yeah, yes. But a Dutch apple. I mean, if you're going to go apple, got to go Dutch apple. I think.
I don't know.
Double crust? I mean, you kidding? What makes a pie better than double crust?
Look at me, Riley. Do I need double crust
okay,
on a pie?
Triple crust. I mean, I'm playing to my audience here.
Jill, what about you? Are you an ice cream person? Now, look, don't tell me you don't eat pie.
No, I do, and I'm definitely
ice cream.
Yeah.
I guess
especially
I am.
Especially if it's warm pie.
But see, and I don't even warm mine up.
See, that's...
I'll take it a step further, too. How about a slice of cheese on the apple pie? Have you ever tried that?
Talk to him about that, because he can't stand people that put cheese on things.
I'm not a big cheese person. I've heard of that, though.
I've
really?
Heard of that,
I have
too.
Heard of that.
I have not heard of that.
Usually with a more of a tart apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
really?
A very sour apple with a nice cheddar to offset it. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then ice cream?
I have not tried the combo yet.
Well, there
that
you
would
go.
Be
now,
something.
See, the next
yeah,
time we have you in, I want a report on apple pie with cheese and ice cream.
That's an interesting
what
one.
What kind of ice cream would pair with cheddar cheese?
Yeah, that's... We'd have to talk to Jenny's.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sorry. You could say that's all right.
I think Jenny's has some that I bet would go.
Well, I'm going to say you might be able to start your own flavor.
Oh, there you go.
And make some money off of that.
I like it.
All right, talking about Learning for Life Farm, Jill, maybe explain to everybody how this got started, your background, and what you saw was a need in this community and how this got get off the ground.
Okay, yeah. I started out in special education many, many, many years ago, teaching mostly preschoolers, and then kind of went from there into opening a program that developed into being a group of charter schools here in Central Ohio between Columbus and we have one in Columbus, one in Johnstown, and one in Canal-Winchester.
Okay.
And I retired from that a couple years ago, and in the meantime had started this nonprofit that was looking at taking kids, transition age kiddos, which means usually kids 13, 14 on up, and giving them a place to go to learn job skills. So things, soft skills, social skills, anything that was not necessarily education related, but that would transfer then into the community. I was seeing kids that were graduating from high school with really, really nice skills mm-hmm. that, you know, down the road, I would run into them a couple years later and they had just stayed at home.
Hmm.
So a lot of what we've done is try to provide an opportunity for them to gain skills that would transfer into the work environment and work with their parents too, mm-hmm. you know, kind of to educate them.
Special ed, obviously it's in your heart. What drew you to that? I mean, was there, you know, we talking to Matt earlier. I mean, usually it's when you have somebody you know, a family member or something like that. What was it about special ed that you said, I want to work in this area?
Hmm. That's a good question. I think it was more just my personality. I actually had a regular ed degree, and then I went out into the field and got into early intervention and started working with young kids, particularly with behavioral needs. And it was a challenge to me to kind of meet them head on and see how I could help them, you know, adapt more into their classrooms. So I think it was just my personality that took me back to school, and then I got a master's degree in special ed, and particularly started working with kids with neurodevelopmental mm-hmm. Issues such as autism and ADD and ODD and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Matt, what about you? How did you get kind of involved in all this? Because it's not a lot of times folks like, hey, I'm going to jump into this particular program. What was it about it that drew you to it?
Well, I had the fortunate opportunity to work alongside of Jill and in her expansion of her school program. And so just having the ability to see what they were doing, to talk with them and to see how much care they put into the programming they were developing. And really the environment that they created was pretty special at their school. So my son is on the spectrum. So when Jill approached me about participating on the board, first of all, I didn't know anything about being on a board and I didn't know how I could help them. But, you know, I think just the opportunity to participate in something that was both near and dear to my heart, but also I saw as a need in the community was an excellent opportunity. And I jumped at it. And, you know, I've learned a lot, probably learned way more from them than I've been able to provide as far as help. But I'll tell you, just being able to make a difference, I think, was the biggest thing. Like, we all have a certain amount of time in the day. We can either put it towards our priorities, work, you know, hobbies, whatever. But for me, it was an opportunity to say, you know, I'm going to make a difference, not only for my son, but for this community. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of why I got involved. I wanted to feel like I was participating.
And now he's the president of the board. He's modest, too.
Well, I'm going to bring that up.
He's done a lot for our program.
Talk about it from a parent's, you know, perspective. Like Jill said, I mean, if she noticed that there was kids who were going on in life and weren't finding, were you worried about that? Were you finding the same things?
Well, when you have a child who's on the spectrum, you kind of do have a tendency to look out and say, you know, what does the future hold for them? And for me, I think the biggest thing was seeing that in school they had such structure, and I was so impressed with the programs at different school districts that we participated in. There's great structure around how to offer these kids support wherever they're at and make sure that they have a positive experience in a mainstream environment in school. And that's great. And that those plans follow them through school. However, once you get to where what Jill was mentioning, the age of transition age kids, there's really not the same structure. So now they're done with school, they're moved out into the world, and they just don't have that assistance, that support anymore. And I think that without building up certain skill sets, that can be a real drag for them, mm-hmm. in trying to operate independently in the workforce or just in the world in general. Yeah. So I was extremely drawn to the fact that we're going to try to address an issue that we see. You know, 85% or roughly of kids on the spectrum are not gainfully employed once they're adults. So that's a huge issue. I mean, not only for them, but for us as a society, to mm-hmm. make sure we include everybody. So that was what drew me, was, man, look at the impact we can have and the issue that is out there that needs to be addressed. And so anything we can do to make progress on that, I think, is positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're a business owner.
Yes.
So you're looking for folks to hire, correct? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I can't imagine, you know, like everybody else who's kind of struggling to find people. I mean, there are skill sets that you're looking for.
Yeah. And what the interesting thing is when I thought about job skills, I'm like, oh, they need to learn how to make this or use this tool or do that. That's not really some of the more key skills that we're seeing or we're focusing on. They need to be able to work in a group. They need to be able to take constructive criticism and not have it as something that derails their whole day. They just need to, these are the things that me and you take for granted when we're working in groups, that a lot of these kids, they just don't have that same ability to recognize that and to operate inside that environment. So for me, that's one of the key things, is these skills. I thought it was certain types. These are just basic social. How do you operate within a group and not become distracted or not become discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and a lot of employers these days, they're looking for good people because the skills, once you're in the work environment, they can kind of teach you the skills that you need. So you just got to be, you know, good citizen, good person, good whatever with basic.
But teachable.
Teachable. And you said soft skills.
Yes, that's what he's kind of talking about is the soft skills that are a little different than, you know, most of the students and children that we work with. On the spectrum, and it's called the spectrum for a reason. So there's a big range of skill sets within that. But many of them are extremely capable within the classroom once they get used to their teachers, their school, their routine. I mean, they've got a lot of skills, but you take them out of that routine and they're really difficult generalizing those skills into a different environment. So that was what we kind of wanted to do, was give them this opportunity to not only work out in the gardens, but tend to animals, and then be in the, we have a workshop, you know, and be in there, and then be out in the fields. We have some beehives, and, you know, be able to make honey. We've done that with them. So it's given them all, and also then interact with people at the events that we put on. So it's given them a lot of opportunities to practice these skills in different environments, and then kind of gauge where that what they want to go with those skills, you know.
Yeah, I imagine the farm might throw a curveball or two. I mean, animals can be unpredictable at times.
Yes, they can be unpredictable. And so many of our kids just actually, I mean, all kids, talking every kid doesn't get outside enough these days. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got kids on screens, we've got kids on computers, you know, and not that that's always a bad thing, but we had a new group come out last week, and Amanda, our teacher there, said these are city kids. They didn't know what to do. She said they walked in the barn holding their nose, and
they don't know the business end versus the on business end, right?
So she's like, I love that challenge of getting them out. And she said by the end they were all helping out with the animals, and you know, so it's giving kids a different environment to practice some of the skills that they're learning in the classroom.
Do the parents get to stay there while, or do you say to the parents, we just want you to go away, we want to be able to handle this ourselves and kind of work and see, or are the parents involved in this, and do you want them involved in what's going on?
Typically, these kids are coming during the school day with teachers and paraprofessionals, so no, the parents aren't involved, but then we've encouraged the kids to bring their parents, you know, to the events that we have, and we had a group coming from the Granville ESC last year, and I happened to be there at one of the events, and two of the kids came in with their parents, and it was really, really nice to see them. Mom, come see this bed. Look at all I planted. Mom, mm-hmm. I want you to come out here and show them what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. So they were really prideful about their work.
And I've talked to folks, I don't know if you've ever heard of PBJ Connections. They're out.
Yes.
It's amazing to me how the animal and the equine therapy has just, for lack of a better word, exploded over the past few years. But folks are finding that that is having a real impact on people. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed that or you've noticed that, but the therapy with animals is huge, is it not?
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that was so intriguing to me when we were talking about building the farm. And as we started up the farm and moved towards having actual alpacas on the farm, we were super excited about just the different opportunities that they can bring, not only interacting with them on almost like a relationship level kind of. I mean, you start to know these animals. They have personalities just like we do. So it's so interesting for these kids to have an opportunity to bond on that level, but then also take care of them and also see all the care that goes into making sure that they have everything that they need to mm-hmm. be healthy. So
we have some smaller animals too. Currently we have two rabbits and we have two cats, and we're looking to expand with some smaller animals. The kids, I mean, so they can kind of learn both, you know, taking care of an animal that's smaller and I can manage versus the alpacas that are a little bit bigger and, you know, need a little more care to be around. You know, we have to teach them, don't stand behind them, and all the things about alpacas. So the old
business end is Joel.
The old business end. Yeah.
Alpacas legs can be long.
They can.
You have to be careful where they're kicking and stretching.
Yes.
Oh, just a bit, no doubt about it.
It is impressive though to see the whole demeanor change when kids come and how they enter and how they change their demeanor changes when they come around animals. There is something there for sure.
No doubt. Yeah. That's what you hear.
And the plants. I've been like really thrown by the kids are so involved in the gardens and the flowers and flower arranging. We had lots of kids who would go out and cut them and then spend a good amount of time arranging the flowers. And I think that, you know, some of our kids are really strong visually, and it was really fun to watch them with the plants.
Hmm. Well, maybe then come out to my house and help me, because I can't grow anything, I'll tell you right now. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guests today are Jill Medley and Matt McInerney with the Learning for Life Farm. McInerney, I'm sorry to say that. I said that to you, Matt, too. How do you pronounce your name? And you went, McInerney, just get rid of the H. McInerney. I'm like, okay, so that'll work for me. Mostly sunny skies today, high right around 90, clear tonight, and then sunny for your Tuesday as well. Okay, we're talking a lot about what's happening with the Learning for Life Farm. And Jill, you've got a really cool event that's going to be taking place rather quickly, as a matter of fact. Maybe explain to everybody what's going to be taking place.
Yeah, so if anybody's familiar with what we've done in the last few years, we've done for, I would say, probably the last 5 years, what we called an alpaca trot, where we did a fundraising, you know, event for the farm, and there was a walk involved and things, you know, I don't know, I can't remember how long it was, but a mile walk, you know.
Yeah.
And we kind of decided to shift a little bit this year. We also do an event in the spring, and it's called the Alpaca Hop, where we do a free Easter egg hunt for the community. And we were really, really impressed with the turnout that we got, bringing people to the farm. And we decided to kind of turn this into another free community event. So it's a family fall festival. It's going to be on September 28th, which is coming up, 12 to 4. And we have all kinds of people from the community coming in. We've got live music, we've got inflatables, we're going to do face painting, games, animal interactions. We've got Highland cows coming to visit. So, and then people have the opportunity to do like a kind of a storybook trail around the farm. We're going to have some what are these called?
QR codes.
QR codes. Yes. People can scan. I was looking at it.
She tapped it too.
That's funny. I was like, what is that?
And let me tell you something. If something would have done something there, I'd have been like, I'm out. They got a little too much going on if that works there.
People can, you know, scan the QR codes and see some short videos or learning opportunities. We're going to do some sensory friendly tasting and touching and smelling events. We're going to have some, you can taste some honey. You can touch the alpaca yarn. You know, different things to explore the senses. And then we do have a soft kind of safe space where kids can go inside if it's too much, calm down a little bit. We're going to have Bill Foley will be there providing live music. Okay. And we're going to have a watermelon eating contest. So,
what are you laughing about? Hey, look at him. He like don't tell me you put cheese on.
Have you ever seen a watermelon eating? They are hilarious. I mean, it's worth
contest.
It just to watch.
How do you come up with a watermelon eating contest?
I really have no idea. That wasn't my idea.
Seedless or seeded?
I think we should do seeded.
Yeah,
that makes it more
interesting. That makes it more fun.
Then
yeah.
You can have the resulting seed spitting contest. Go for distance.
Yes.
How did you end up with alpacas?
You know, that is a funny story. So I actually went to an alpaca farm in Virginia with my family one time, and I don't remember how we ended up there.
Wrong turn.
And it was really cool. Now, their alpacas, I will say, are a little better trained than ours, but we're getting there. Yeah. But because you could just get, like, the kids, my kids were young at the time, and you could get, you know, hold hands and be around the alpacas in groups and do some different things with them. They're also pretty calm. They are pretty calm animals. And their poop doesn't smell quite as strong as other animals. So at the time, thinking from a sensory perspective, I was like, this would be a really great environment, this farm I was on, for kids on the autism spectrum.
Better than pigs and chickens.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Put us that way.
It is very, I mean, it's pretty mild smell compared to other animals. So, and I know our kids are very sensitive to that. So I said, you know what, we should do this, and here we are. Mm-hmm. Somehow we figured it out and have done it.
It's amazing, I mean, that you put that much thought into it. You know, again, when you work with kids that are on the spectrum, but I mean, like, just this year has been, it was so wet early and then so dry.
Yes.
I mean, you know, even if you just think about that, just how to handle life's curveballs. I mean, things that can be so different from one season to the next. And again, those skill sets really pay dividends down the road.
Yeah.
And that's true. And that's why, I mean, we have a couple of fundraising events each year. Jill mentioned the Alpaca Hop, and now we have our Family Fall Fest. And it's just so important for us to have people come out, because we need help sponsoring groups to get out to the farm. You know, being in a nonprofit, you are handling curveballs left and right nonstop. There is no guarantee that, you know, you will be there next year. You have to really work hard to drum up the support and make sure people know what you're doing. And once you get that in front of people, they really do see the value there. And so I'm just excited to have as many people as we can get out there. Check out the farm. We'll have a farm store where you can see some of the things that the kids produce on the farm. It's fantastic. I love going just to see what we're working on that day, that week, whatever the season is. It's always something new. So, yeah, that's the important thing, getting everybody, as many people as we can out there, to take a look at what we're doing and just see if there's any connection that they can make in their networks to help further our cause.
How are you funded? Is it all donations?
All donations, grants, and then we do have some contracts with school districts that will bring the kids out, you know, but those are few and far between. There's been a lot of cuts in the education field in the last couple years that we've seen hindered districts' ability to pay for these kids to do things outside of the school. So, yeah, we actually, I mean, it's almost all donations and then some grants at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, every time we have a new group come out, they are just blown away by what we offer, what we can do for their population or their group. And it always comes down to the same thing. We love it. We love to come, but there's just no we don't have any way to fund this trip or have these kids out. And so we're keen on connecting any kind of corporate, larger business sponsors. We're trying to connect those sponsors with the groups that want to come, because that's really the only way that we can, as an organization, support those groups to get there who cannot pay the trip fees. We have to find sponsorships to support them. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the big things that we want to do, is make sure that as we have this wonderful facility, there's so much opportunity to get more groups here. And once they get here, I mean, it's just, we're just excited to expand this to just as many people as we can to get.
We do have, we collected data on kind of a group last year that we sponsored them to come out for free and to get them there more regularly, because it is hard to take data on kids that only come once a month. So we got them weekly. And when we saw the data on, you know, all of these skill sets, we did interviews and some testing and some skill set at the beginning of the year, and then again in the spring. And Amanda shared all of that data with our board, and it was pretty, it was very interesting to see how much these kids, how many skills they had when they came out of the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just so folks understand, so can an individual say, hey, I want to come out, I want to get my child enrolled in this, or does it have to go through a school-based program?
It doesn't have to. Right now, if people call individually, what we're trying to do is get a list, and we have had some of that recently, so that we could make a small group, though.
Gotcha.
We just don't have the staffing to do individuals sure. right now, but as we get people, we've been taking, Amanda has a list of families that have interest, and once we had enough, we were going to, you know, see if she could make a group with them.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Volunteers? I'm assuming you would like to have some.
Yes.
I mean, what if people have to do? See, we're not bad. We kind of know what we're doing here.
Well, as you can imagine, with just everything that has to happen out at the farm, I mean, our staff is phenomenal, but they are stretched to the max. I mean, from maintenance of beds to the programming, having groups through, you can imagine how your time can get kind of overwhelmed. So yes, we would love, and we organize volunteer group events through, you can contact us through our Facebook page or our website. Those are key for us to have groups of volunteers come through. Only a couple hours, we'll have you doing anything from weeding to sweeping to cleaning to organizing, just anything that can help our staff focus
Lots
on
of
servicing
weeding.
The groups. because we don't use any kind of pesticides mm-hmm. or anything to control the weeds. You know, it's all organically done, not officially organic, but as far as I know,
we
don't use any chemicals.
Organic, yes.
But yeah, it's manual weed pulling and, you know, bed maintenance. So any kind of help that we can get, if you have free time, we'd love to hear from you.
We have a sign up genius that is available for people to get on, and they can pick the time and day and everything.
Yep. And if you can find all that information on both our Facebook page, Learning for Life Farm, or our website, which is learningforlifefarms.com.
.org. Yep.
As long as I don't have to have the shovel end for what Joel likes to call the business end
yes.
out there, I could find myself out there.
Come on, where there are plants, there are fertilizers.
Well,
this is true.
If you're going to go organic, then there's nothing better than that.
That fertilizer makes some beautiful flowers.
Okay.
Right.
Good for you. I liked how Matt said weeding and organizing.
Yeah.
If I don't have to organize said shovels, I am good to go. Believe me, 100%. Real quick again, Jill, if you want to throw out the date, the time, and where you folks are located if folks want to come out.
Yep. So it's September 28th, coming up 12 to 4, and we are at 3062 Johnstown Utica Road.
Mm-hmm. So come on out. It's free.
Free
Have
event.
Some fun.
Free event, free parking. There will be opportunities to donate if people want to, but everything is provided. It's going to be free. There will be food trucks there too.
Okay.
And those will
people
want to
pay
eat.
For your, your own. Go ahead.
Ice cream.
Silent auction.
Silent auction.
We'll have some great
baskets. We're
going to
have a silent auction. We've got some great baskets ready. Yes. Some really, really cool golf outing, you know, different kinds of things mm-hmm. that people can pay for foursomes for golf and pictures. I've got a Lego basket coming. I've got all kinds of things that people are donating to us to put in the silent auction.
That's one of my favorite parts.
I know. It is fun.
It is the silent auction.
Yeah.
What about the watermelon eating contest?
That's new this year. So
I think the board president should have to do that.
I think he should too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm on board 100%.
Talking himself right into that.
I just sealed my fate.
Well, Jill and Matt, again, I appreciate the two of you coming in, Learning for Life Farm. It's a neat thing what you're doing, because so many, and again, I know from Licking County Board of DD, so many folks can take advantage of this and use it for parents. I mean, it's got to make you feel good that you know there's a place out here. And it's something, get out there for the Family Fall Festival. Again, it's free. Go check it out. Have some fun. Maybe make a donation. Sign up to volunteer. But go check it out. Just have some fun out there. I will be out there. I'm bringing my little brother. He's kind of not on the spectrum, but he's got some things that, and I know he'll love this. The alpacas, you might as well forget it.
Great.
He'll be out there all over
they
that.
They will eat right out of your hands.
Oh, well,
that part is fun.
You'll never get rid of him then. He's standing there all day, like, come on, we got to go. So thank you so much. I appreciate you coming out today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.